All right, good evening, folks. It's a joy to be back at Pine Bluff. You hear me? Okay. And we're excited. We're excited about what the Lord's done and what He's still doing. I learned two things as a missionary, and I learned a lot more than that afterwards. The first thing, without Him, I can do nothing. And the second thing I learned is nothing impossible for Him. And I have remembered those two phrases down through the years as I served the Lord. And we've seen some, I think it would be miracles happen in Italy. The first miracle is I learned a language. Italian said, you're going to never learn the language. But we did, and people seemed to understand what I was saying. They kept coming. Maybe they was getting a thrill out of just listening to me make mistakes. But we was glad God called us, and the best thing that ever happened in my life, I got saved as a 13-year-old boy, and God called me to repentance, and I called upon Him for salvation. And down through the years, I watched Him work in my life. I wasn't always what I ought to be, but thank God I am what I am by the grace of God. And I thank God He chose me back in 1974 to go to the field of Italy as a missionary. And I'll be honest with you, I wanted to do 40 years. I didn't set any particular goal, but I said it'd be nice to do 40 years in Italy. But the doctor seemed to change my mind about that. Last 8 years, after having open heart surgery, I had to come home every 2 years and get my heart checked. And he said, you're good to go. Four times I came back. And the last time he said, you're not good to go. And I said, okay, doc, that means I'm getting ready to meet my Lord, I guess. He said, well, we'll see about that. I think it was really a miracle 8 years ago that I'm living today. I had so much liquid build up in my body and in my lungs and everything. The doctor said, it's a big risk. Open up your heart. Matter of fact, the night before we had open heart surgery, he put me on a heart pump to let my heart relax a little bit. And he said, I think we're going to make it, but it's a 50-50 deal. I said, okay, doc, I don't care. I'll take either 50. It's all right with me what God wants to do, but I'm in His hands. I'm not in the doctor's hands, but I'm in His hands. So I promised God before they knocked me out, If you let me live, I'm going to serve you. And I told him, I said, God, as long as you give me strength, I'm going to preach. And he did, and I'm still doing it. And Brother Keith, it's a pleasure knowing this church, knowing you folk, and knowing that you're here praying for us, and you're here sacrificing and giving that we was able to stay on the mission field. Churches like you, we don't take for granted. This church has meant so much to us because when Brother Bruce was here as pastor, I presented a need of a gospel tent. We was driving into Catania, Sicily one day, and I pulled over on the side of the road. I looked over here and saw all these high-rise apartments. And I was praying. I said, dear God, how can we reach all these people? And it's almost like he was screaming out of my insides, you know, get a tent. I said, but dear God, that's a big undertaking to get a tent and take it to Italy, you know. But God provided the means, and this church was the very first church that gave a penny on that tent. Brother Bruce stood up here behind the pulpit and said, church, you're here to need. What are we going to do about it? Nobody said anything. He said, well, I tell you what, if I have to give it, I'm going to give $1,000. Anybody want to help me? Got a motion second. Okay, the church voted on it. First $1,000. The second church went in, got another $1,000. In 1 month's time, we had $5,000 to pay cash for a tent. And somebody called me up later and said, I want to give on your tent. I said, you can't. How come I can't? I said, it's paid for. Can we give on chairs, songbooks, something? I said, you can do that. So people still give after that. But thank God. Let me share just something with you that was so startling to me. When I first got to Italy, I couldn't speak the language, and I wanted to witness. What do you do in a strange country that you don't know the language and you still want to reach out to people? Well, I had a military man, Navy man, give me my first Italian Bible. When I arrived, he said, I want to give you your first Bible in Italian. So I took that Bible, I went downtown, stood on the sidewalk, and I learned the plan of salvation in the Italian Bible, and I learned one word, legge. Legge means to read, and it means like you read. And I was pointing to verses, and I stopped people and say, legge, 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 until I stopped a young girl. I take her to be 13, 14 years old. And she began to deliberately read the scripture, and tears began to run down her cheeks as she read the scripture. I would like to think in my heart that maybe she got converted. I don't know. But I tell you, I've sat on park benches where the old people come, and I said, I'm a student here in Italy. I'm learning your language. Would you help me? Would you read to me? And I had the Bible. And they were reading the Bible, and I was getting the language on top of that. So this is what God showed me. There's a lot of things that you can do as a missionary. You don't need to sit home and say, God, help me learn the language. You need to get out and let them teach you the language, you see. And my Italian teacher told me I didn't have a TV, and I heard some bad things about TV in Italy that I didn't buy one. And the teacher told me, said, you got to have a TV. You got to watch the news. You got to watch documentaries. And so on we went. But just be brief tonight. We're home not to go back unless we go for a visit. And God opened up another door for us. We were donating some things that try to clear out our house where people had put stuff in our house while we were in Italy. And I called up a thrift shop. I said, we got things we donate, you know, would you come pick them up? Said, yeah, we'd be right over. Well, the people that run the thrift shop had these homes. They house drug addicts, alcoholics, and homeless people, and people that a little bit retarded and different things like that. And we sat down on my doorsteps at my house and talked about that. Said, I asked, anybody preaching to them? Anybody presenting the gospel to them? Not a one. They had six houses, and they said, nobody is going in. I said, well, have you prayed about it? And they said, what you going to do? It presented to me, what you going to do? I said, well, I'm praying that God will open a door because I want to keep preaching. And they said, the door's open. Said, if you want to, you can come in any time you want to, except at night while it's sleeping, and preach whatever you want to. And we started in, I believe it was July, and we had one man saved already in July. And we're going on Tuesday and Thursday, and this past week I preached five times. We went in three more houses. We started in two. We went in three more houses, like 9, 10, 11 o'clock on Thursday morning before I came down here. And we're going now five different houses. We got access to almost 60 people. And the good thing about it, we probably got access to 100 because they got a big turnover. People moving out and moving in, and I meet new people every week. So I had one guy at one house ask me, said, can you come back tomorrow? We got a question for you. And Brother Keith, you know one question to ask me? What about grace in the Old Testament? I said, well, Noah found grace in the eyes of God, but I said there was no grace for salvation. It was all under the law and by faith in Jesus Christ, by faith in God. I talked to them a little bit about the lamb being the sacrifice that only postponed judgment for 1 year. But the blood of Jesus is so much better than the blood of lambs and goats and bulls and heifers and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about what our job is as a Christian in this world. Our job is lifting up Jesus and letting the world see who Jesus is. People have heard about Jesus all their life, but they don't know him. You can go down your street, wherever you live, and you knock on five houses, you can find somebody that needs Jesus. If you go down one street in Italy, you knock on every house and find people that need Jesus. You see why we need missionaries? We got churches everywhere in America, especially in the South. I talked with a missionary the other day going to Montana. He said, in the town where I'm going, there's no Baptist church. There's no gospel preaching church in Montana. And I said, that's amazing. America's really a mess. America needs Jesus. But anyway, I want you to turn with me in John chapter 12 a minute. We'll read about verses and pray and make a few comments and we'll be done. In John chapter 12, we'll begin in verse 31 and we'll read through verse 34 just to get the gist of what I want to talk to you about. By the way, Linda has a few CDs. If anybody is interested, just see her and talk to her about it. We're not pushing CDs or anything like that, but if you're interested in her singing, we got CDs available. And we're not in the business of making money. God provides our need. But we want to be a blessing for what we're here for. John chapter 12, verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. That's a profound statement. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And you know it's talking about the devil. It's going to be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I want to stop right there in the reading and let's have a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to help me, Father, as your servant, to show people what Jesus means to me and what he can mean in their life. And I thank you, Father, for all you've done. The blessings, Lord, has been without end. The blessings have been enormous. What we could never think or ask, you bless us with. We ask your blessings upon this church and these people. And I pray that, Father, you get glory to your name and speak to every heart, meet every need. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So we see, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Now, there's got to be something on our part on this lifting up. We know what he's talking about there. He's talking about being crucified. If you look in the Old Testament, you find about Moses lift up the serpent in the desert. And we know the Old Testament's about types and symbols and figures and things like that. We know that he wasn't lifting up Christ in the desert, but he's lifting up the cross. And men need to look to the cross, you see. Figuratively speaking, from the Old Testament, the serpents put on the cross when they were bit by the snake. And we've been snake bitten. We all are sinners, and our destiny is eternal hell without Jesus Christ. So we need to look to the one that died on the cross. Jesus Christ is the one, the supreme sacrifice that God wanted and required. And he's the only one who could go to the cross and pay our sin debt. There's not one existing in the world today could pay for your sins and mine except Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be preaching. That's why we need to be proclaiming. We need to be crying out like John the Baptist did. It's Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. You see, it's Jesus. We need to be lifting him up. And we need to be looking unto him because he's the author and finisher of our faith. There's nobody going to be saved without faith. I had an Italian man to ask me, Brother Keith, if you'll show me Jesus, I'll believe in him. I said, well, it ain't possible because I can't bring him down. Second of all, it's not possible you can get saved. If you see him, it is no more faith. We're saved by grace through faith, see? And it's not of ourselves, it's of him. All of him by grace. So we ask you to look unto Jesus, first of all. Look unto him for salvation. Look unto him for what you can do for him. He's got a job for every one of us. And he wants to use you. And your particular talent he's given you. Everyone can be doing something for Jesus. It's amazing how big a church we could have if everybody's busy doing something for Jesus. It's amazing if we talked about Jesus everywhere we went and in our opportunities we have in our daily walk. if we just talked about Jesus. Let me tell you about what he means to me, you know? Let me tell you what he's done for me. And there's so many things we could do, but we need to be listening to the voice. He's speaking to every heart. I remember whenever he convicted me of my sin, my heart about jumped out of my chest, you know, it was pounding, pounding, pounding. And I said, what in the world's going on? You know, I was raised in a Christian home. I went to church every Sunday. What's going on? The preacher's preaching, all we like sheep have gone away. We've turned everyone for our own way. And God laid on him the iniquity of us all. You think about that. What we need to do is listen to the voice that speak to us inside. I was teaching a Sunday school class one day, and the Lord told me to tell them, said, don't tell me he's not speaking to you. He speaks to every one of us. He speaks to you with that inner voice. And sometimes it's loud and clear. It's pounding your heart out of your chest, wanting you to do something, wanting you to get saved, wanting you to serve him, wanting you to go tell somebody about him. But we need to be lifting up Jesus. The Bible says in John 8:28, said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. You're going to know me. When you lifted him up, you're going to know who I am. And that I do nothing of myself, but my Father have taught me I speak these things. You know, in Isaiah's day, even though he's a prophet, Brother Mark, Isaiah said he saw the Lord high and lifted up. How should we be seeing the Lord today? We're to see him sitting on his throne. We're to see him sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and I. We need to see him who he is. He's not a weakling. The only reason he didn't carry his cross because he took a beating beyond recognition. They beat him. And therefore, he needed a man like you and I to carry his cross for him. He needs people today to carry the cross and not be ashamed of it. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to me, also to the Greeks and Gentiles. So we see tonight that Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up. I wonder how the world sees him. They need to hear from you and I. Hey, look at him. He's on his throne. He's making intercession for you. He's waiting for you to call upon him for salvation. He's waiting for you. Say, Lord, what are we going to do today? I got a habit of that in Italy. I said, good morning, Lord. What are we going to do today? I'm just waiting on you and willing to do what you want me to do. We'd get a lot more done if we did that instead of what we want to do. When I strike out and do what I want to do, a lot of times it turns out no good, and I have to go back and redo what I've done. But when you do what he tells you to do, it gets done right. All right, we need to see the Lord lifted up. God raised up his Son. You know, over in Acts we find, unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone from his iniquities. If you see God, you'll be ashamed of your sin. You'll be ashamed of your iniquities. You'll try to hide it. That's the reason most people don't invite him in their home, because they try to keep their sin in the closet, keep him in the back bedroom or the den or wherever. But then, second of all, we need to see Jesus lifted up. But we need to lift up our eyes and look upon the fields that's white unto harvest. He said, say ye not, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. How do you see men? How do you see the multitudes? Many of them are going to hell if they never hear about Jesus. Who's going to tell them? Will we be like Isaiah? Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, I want to go. Are we saying that today? Oh, will the preacher do it? The song leader do it? or somebody, the deacon will do it. I'm too busy. Well, I got kids I got to put through college. I got kids I got to get through school. There's always something going on in my house. If you don't never set a schedule to go witness, you'll never do it. I found that out in my life. I had to project a time and a day that I was going to go knock on doors. And therefore, it got done. Because I promised God, if you will help me get everything else done, you know, that needs to be done, not what I want to do, but what needs to be done, I'll go. Some go on Monday, some go on Thursday, some go on Saturday. But set a day and a time. It won't take long. It won't rob much of your time. Go knock on doors. And if doors, sometimes they'll be open. Sometimes they'll be slammed in your face. It's always been and always will be that way. We need to lift up our eyes and look on the fields. We need to lift up our eyes and look toward heaven. Dear God, that man and the family over there belongs to the mafia. I'm scared to go over and talk to him about Jesus. If half of the people in Italy is mafia, you know, I would never got anything done if I'd worried about the mafia. But then, you know, they'll cuss me out. We had a lot of people in Italy that would just start living together without the benefit of marriage. And whenever one of them would get saved, I'd tell them, you need to get married or you need to separate. That's just not biblical for you to live together in sin. And I had a guy come to church with a knife. He's going to kill me. Boy, I hadn't had some good Christians, strong Christians. I would have probably been a dead man before my time. But that guy meant business. You trying to break up my home. I said, you never had a home to start with. You didn't do it right. You're living in sin. But many people, I talked to some of the parents in the church. I said, what about this here? I call it checking up. What about this we're living together? And they said, well, once they spend the night together, they married. They husband and wife. I said, no, not in God's eyes. That don't get it. You need to go to the altar and promise you'll be faithful one to the other. To death do you part. It works pretty good, those that mean business. Linda and I have been together 55 years. And I think we're going to go a little longer. We hadn't had an argument today. But we need to lift up our eyes and look on the fields. We need to look to the multitudes. We need to look to the one that's the author and finisher of our faith. We remember how Abraham looked and whenever God told him to offer up his only son. And he took his son, laid him on the altar, and drawed back his hand with a knife to take his own son's life. And the angel stopped him. And he looked and he saw the ram. He saw the lamb. And we need to take a look at the Lamb, see? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's a permanent Lamb. If we look to Jesus, He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tell them that. Some of them believe it. The Samaritan woman did. And she told the whole city about, come see a man that told me all things I've ever done. And we need to be lifting up our voices and cry aloud. I mentioned John the Baptist a while ago, but we need to preach like Peter on the day of Pentecost. Preach fire. Preach with fire and just like you believe it. I mean, he saved me. Well, wouldn't he save you? I didn't deserve it, and you don't either. But he'll save anybody that'll believe it, call upon his name. By faith, he'll save you. And we need to tell others, like Peter did, and he had 5,000 saved in one day. And I can imagine the baptismal service went on after that. But anyway, we need to be busy about the Lord's business. I'll ask you that you pray for Linda and I as we go to these homeless. A lot of them don't have a church. A lot of them don't have a pastor. A lot of them don't know which way to turn. And we want to be that help that we can be as we go in those homes. And again, we want to thank you for all that you've done for us. It's tremendous having a church that's been so faithful like Plain Bluff. And we're not taking anything for granted. There's people in this church, and I was going to start naming names, that have written to us, and we're praying for you. You don't know how much that means. Just in a time when we need to know that somebody's praying for us, we get that email, and sometimes even writes it on Facebook. I don't keep up much with Facebook, but my wife does, and she tells me about it. I don't have much time for that social media, so to speak. But I don't criticize nobody. It does. It's your business, and we'll answer to God for each one of us what we do. But I'd like to ask you a question. What does Jesus mean to you? Do you know him really as your Lord and Savior? Are you serving him the way he wants you to? Are you saying, not my will, but thine be done? Maybe God wants somebody in this church to be a missionary. Maybe God wants somebody to go to the homeless in this area. There's nobody doing it. There may be somebody going to the jail, but I'll be honest with you, in my county, in Anderson County, South Carolina, I don't think anybody ever thought about going to the homeless. I asked the guy in charge of these homes, I said, nobody's ever approached you about preaching to them? He said, nobody. He said, you don't know how much I prayed and cried over the souls of these people. And he said, I can't do it. But he said, I know somebody can. You can. And it's almost like God said, you can. Don't wait on somebody else to do it. Go do it till somebody else comes along. And maybe they can't do what you can do. God can use you. Let's stand our feet, heads bowed, and eyes closed a moment.